Boy, you know, I just can't get enough of that opening song. I just think it's great.
So good. It's under our voices right now. Can you hear it right under us?
Right, yeah. And that just kind of gets me going.
Oh, I'm being real buoyed by it.
I know,
I'm
it's
really
super
buoyed by this.
Well,
thing.
You always call me a robot. It's kind of like my little theme song,
I know.
Right?
Yeah, it is like a little theme for a little robot theme, but it's playing underneath us right now. Okay. It's going to kick in a second. Kick it in.
Just
somebody kick it in. Kick it in. Kick
three,
it in.
Three, two, one. Dun, 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 dun. Smart.
Now, so we had a little record earlier today, and now we're having our second record. There was a gap in between where lunch usually sits, and I always, whenever this happens, I'd love to know what Sean had.
Oh, good. I had chicken curry with rice and cauliflower and sweet potatoes, and then I had a huge bowl of ice cream after.
Wait, you had chicken curry with rice?
Yeah.
I did not know that Chef Boyardee made that.
Right.
That's funny.
Or chin chin.
That's
yeah.
new.
But you see, I didn't change. I'm still in my Smartless
no,
merch
we got
shirt.
That. Yeah. Right. Smartless merch. There's some good stuff in there. I was, I guess I shouldn't be surprised because we looked at it all before it went in there. But
let me tell you something. I slept in this. ShopSmartless.com. It's the best stuff.
Oh, it's sleepable
is
soft?
Is that what it is? Wait, is it ShopSmartless.com for real?
ShopSmartless.com, yeah.
What's it
I
again?
Know that.
Sorry, Sean. What'd you say?
ShopSmartless.com. It's I'm telling you, you sleep in the sweats, you put the hat on when you roll out of bed. It's great.
Who did you design the blanket? Those big heavy blankets? You did, right? You wanted
I didn't
the heavy
design
blanket.
Them, but I what's that?
You wanted the heavy blanket.
I wanted the heavy blanket because I have an issue with a throw blanket. A throw blanket covers one leg.
Right.
So I never understood the function of a throw blanket.
No, I'm saying I like it because it's weighty.
Yeah, it's weighty and it's big. It covers your whole body.
And it's like what do you call it?
Warm?
Fleece, I guess. Is it
fleece? Hey, by the way. Yeah. You know what I did?
Oh, definitely Whisper. Yeah, because that's gonna be
for Scotty, I got him a surprise. Okay. I got John Williams, the composer, to sign a page of the E.T. score. For Scotty.
Wow. How'd you do that?
Friend of mine knows, is friends with his daughter, and then we just kind of made it happen.
Are you guys good at that? Are you good? Well, it sounds like you are, Sean, where you sort of like you remember what your friend or partner or kid or whatever really loves, and you work on it for a few months, and you get the perfect gift. Like, do you do that?
I love doing that.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Hey, Will, you don't need to go up high like everybody in the world does it except you, Jason.
I don't do it, so that's why.
Yeah, exactly.
It's true.
Will's very good at throwing money at a gift.
Of course, Sean, and I am good at that.
You're very good at that. Whereas Sean, you'll do sort of a sentimental thing, or I remember you said in July that what you wanted for Christmas was...
That's right. Uh-huh. Like I clocked last year for... For Maple's birthday, she said she just mentioned that she loved skateboarding. So I got her a skateboard or a certificate for a skateboarding thing.
Yes, and we went and spent the hell out of that.
Did you?
You remember, that's how she broke all her teeth, remember?
Yeah.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah.
Remember that time she broke her arm and all her teeth came? She had to spit her teeth out.
That's why she's got those flippers now.
And we've got this memory of her, and she takes her teeth out every night. She thinks of you when she has to take them out.
Hey, by the way, though, back to the ice cream thing. Yeah. I didn't tell you this. Jay... Last episode we recorded, we talked about you having what is it called?
A root canal.
Yeah. I had a cavity.
You had one.
And I just got, just last week.
Okay.
And I got a crown pillow.
Not possibly your first.
No, oh my God, I have so many. But at 52 years old, I have a cavity.
Oh, they're going to start coming fast and furious.
That is strange. Let's take a look at your diet.
but what is strange about things on your body degenerating as you get older?
Well, but I floss and I brush and I do everything, so it's like,
doesn't
why?
Matter. Teeth don't play by that.
No, because they're sitting in sugar all day.
Yeah.
I will say this.
When you're having ice cream, when you're having dessert for lunch,
breakfast,
you have a situation.
He had dessert for breakfast the other day. Hey, I did have a thing where one of my favorite sweeteners that I use, I don't want to say which one, with my coffee, because I thought, I'm not having sugar for a few years. I've been using a sweetener. And I see that one of its ingredients, this study came out yesterday, a huge study saying that it causes like strokes and heart attacks and shit.
Yeah. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
I know.
I'm so fucking bummed.
Well, so you don't want to say this publicly since it's already public?
Well, just because it's an other, so I don't want to call out like the being, one particular brand. Yeah,
yeah, it's being reported on or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, so the sweet the sweetening component is the problem, not the brand.
Right, one of the ingredients in
it. So then, what is the ingredient? Do you remember?
Because
I want to know if I'm
agave. No.
Is it agave?
It's in a lot of it's in a lot of sort of stevia centric sweeteners.
Shit,
have it in
really?
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that is that what you're using?
Yeah, I'm mainline stevia. Damn.
Yeah. So a lot. I don't know if pure. I don't know, but I know that some of them have it in it. Anyways,
guys,
I know. Guy, real uplifting, huh?
All right.
Let's get. To our
are
guest.
We ready for our guest?
Oh, I guess let's get to the guest.
Before
sure.
I die, let's get it done.
At least we'll know why.
Yeah, I gotta
exactly.
I gotta say, I get some of the best guests. This guy has had
did
not one.
Did you write
one.
This intro? Did you write this intro?
This is the intro, yeah.
Did you write it?
Of course I did, yeah. This guy has had not one, but two songs written about him by a huge pop star. Most would agree he's Hollywood royalty, being an Academy Award-winning filmmaker, a heavy-hitting movie star who's portrayed a very famous DC comic book character on screen multiple times.
I knew it
is. But most importantly,
who?
Just an all-around great call guy it. That I'm so happy to call a friend who I love a whole bunch, and I know you fellas do too. Please welcome to Smartless, Mr. Benjamin Geza Affleck Bolt.
Benjamin, oh!
No. No.
There he is. Oh, what? I love him. I love
very
him.
Very nice.
That for a second, was... how did Sean get you and I don't? God damn it.
Because I like him, and he's a great guy.
You are a good actor. I always feel like I'm liked when I'm around you.
Where are you? Are you in the basement?
I'm in my lair.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah, lower
because
layer.
Crime might need to be fought.
And, oh, God.
Wait,
what songs have been written about you?
Dear Ben and Dear Ben Part 2.
The songs that have been written about me have been written by the greatest
Jennifer Lopez
performer in the history of the world, Jennifer Lopez. I don't know that they're exactly so much about me as maybe inspired by because... Mm-hmm. You know, because there's some negative things in there.
So they're aimed at you.
Yeah, I was going to say, are they flattering?
She's amazing, yes. Can you imagine? And also, there is a third song written about me, but not by anyone gifted. Jimmy Kimmel wrote a song about me called I'm Fucking Ben Affleck.
Wait, did
he really?
Did Jennifer write the songs about you during or when you weren't dating?
Jennifer, you know what, Jason?
Uh-huh. Well, this,
you've
this is,
asked me
I just
these
want to
questions
know if they're happy
private,
songs or
over
sad songs.
And over, and I tell you, if you want to ask Jennifer about her career, if you're interested in her work, go ahead and screw your courage to the sticking plate and ask her.
I learned a lot about her with that great documentary.
I love that.
That was really,
I loved it.
Really
wasn't that
cool.
Amazing?
Yeah, yeah,
everybody
I loved it.
Watched that. That
I thought
was very
that was
good.
Incredible.
It yeah, is. And by the way, that's the first time I know we're going to interview you in just a second. But Jennifer Lopez, who was on Will and Grace twice or three times, or whatever.
Was she on Will and Grace? That's fun. And I was not one, two, no times.
No,
you were. This is the story of my
Will
life.
Will was, I wasn't. Yeah.
But she was. But that documentary blew me away because I was like, my God, what the woman has accomplished is astounding.
Yeah, and she's
just
it takes
not done
a big
yet.
Man not to feel inadequate in the face of my wife's many.
But you too. You've accomplished.
Oh, I don't feel bad about myself. It's not so much. I'm not low self-esteem. I'm not. Well, I'm fishing a little bit, but not. No, the truth is, it's amazing. Sometimes I think I like completely forget. Because here's this incredible actress and this incredible performer. And then we're sitting in the car, you know, and I'm humming along, like I will, you know, the radio. And then a professional singer goes ahead and you know, sings along. And you kind of feel like, well, that's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Maybe you know, I should just zip it.
Do you know all her music? Don't lie.
I do know
can all you sing music. All of her songs?
Not to you.
No, but you know them, though?
Like,
I can't get a J-Lo song past you that you haven't heard.
Waiting for the night. Oh,
that's the remix. There it is. That's.
I like when Sean does it. Sound kind of sounds like Cher is doing a remix.
Oh, waiting for the night.
That was like a Cher waiting for something.
Yeah,
I think
cross with a goat.
Now you're making me self-conscious. Like, oh gosh, if I were on like Jeopardy, would I miss a question? But I do love her music. It's brilliant, and I know
who doesn't.
All of it. Thank you.
Yeah, Jason, don't put him on the fucking spot like a
dick.
Fuck.
What do you know? We don't even remember your wife's birthday.
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty sure an A starts with an A.
It is surprising. No, wait a second. Now, Ben.
Yes. Hi.
Hi, Ben Affleck.
Like, Ben Affleck's not here.
Hi, Ben.
We don't know
hi,
each other.
Thank you. Somebody. Yeah. Yes, hi. Mm-hmm. I don't have the pleasure of knowing you, but everybody who knows you likes you a great deal.
And it's often like,
Bateman, he's doing the thing with Bateman, which is really, so I mean.
Good surprising.
It is surprising.
Very surprising.
And as you know, yes, so you and Jason have known each other for a number of years?
Yeah, I've known Jason a long time, and I had the chance to do like now 4 movies with the guy.
I know, and by the way, the trailer for Air looks incredible.
Looks amazing for the new movie you guys did that you've invited Jason to be part of. And any regrets? And you can be honest now. You can be, if you have regrets about
I got to tell you, I mean, usually, and I hate, you know, when people come on shows and they're like, you know, you're great. No, but what you bring, because it's just so fucking boring to listen to. And you have to, but I'm going to
hear it.
And let me tell you why, because it's actually true. And I've lied so many times that it's nice to get the chance. Jason is fucking amazing.
Guys, let him finish.
Movie. Let him finish.
Jason?
Has the hardest part in the movie, which there is the part where you're supposed, you know, the guy who's like, but if we don't make it to the train station by 6, you know, the whole time, you know, it's constantly having to tell the audience what the stakes are.
Yeah. Look out.
What's going to happen.
Turn right.
And somehow, like, made himself, you know, the most, I think, like, the most, you know, compelling, real, you're drawn to, it's brilliant. A lot of it's improv and funny, and a lot of it's just humanity, but it's, Jason's brilliant, and it was such a, I was really lucky, because that, it's, what Matt did, very easy. Right. You're the lead, and you're that guy, and you have those lines.
Exactly.
You know what this scene is? This is me looking out the window. Yeah. It's music. Right. Yeah. You know, that's going to help you. That's the wind at your back.
I was the one working.
Do you know, by the way, you should know, Ben, that we watched the Super Bowl at Kimmel's, and...
Oh, yeah, this is a problem.
Hang on, so we're watching, and at that moment that the ad for your movie came on, Jason and I were sitting there, and Jimmy happened to kind of drift in right between us, and then I said, hey, quiet, everybody, here's the commercial for the big movie, and Jason was all excited, and then there was just a silhouette for a second, and then nothing.
Silhouette.
And then Jason's daughter goes... Dad, I thought you were in that movie.
Oh, my God.
In front of my kids, Ben.
That can't be true.
Well, it's a true story, right, Jason? Is that true?
It's a true story. But listen, there's many different
commercials. I mean, it's my fault in the sense that I did see it and not notice. But it's not my fault in the sense I didn't make it. And let me, can I talk to your daughter? Daddy's very good.
This is all a joke. But it was actually pretty funny. It was like... Hey, thought you were in that. And everybody goes back to their chips watching other
people. I've been there. You know what I mean? When things aren't panning out in your career and you've been in the movie and all of a sudden you're like, I think I show up in this trailer.
The worst is when you're at the premiere and they go past the point where you know your big scene was and it's now gone. And they've moved on and you're like, guess that was cut.
You're like, Mom, no, this is where I have the monologue. Oh, maybe it comes later now. I don't know.
Maybe it's during the credits. I saved it for during the credits.
Anyway, I'll do it for you at home.
It'll probably need special features.
Yeah.
So, Ben, talk to me a little bit about, you know, we had Matt who came and joined us on tour. He came to Madison, Wisconsin. When you think Madison, Wisconsin, you think Matt Damon.
That's the thing about Matt is he'll always do something nicer than me. Yeah, it's like, Matt, hey, what you're doing is great. You know, Matt went a whole lot further.
But we did. We talked to him about how you guys started, how you guys knew each other back in the day and what that was like when you guys were kind of...
Yeah, both. It was really cool.
Yeah, it was great really hearing from him, and I'd love to hear your perspective of how you guys... And I'm sure you've told it a million times, so forgive me if it's boring. But for us, it's really... I love that story. And I told Matt, I remember we made this really bad, I say bad, but my friend wrote it, but this really pretty chintzy version of a movie called Southie. And you guys came to the rap party that I was in. And then you guys were about to do Good Will Hunting. And then our movie was like, they buried it under a couch somewhere. And then you guys went on to like amazing. But I just love the beginnings of what you and Matt did. And I want to hear it from you. Because I think it's a great story.
And by the way, I had no idea you guys grew up so close to each other. No idea.
Yeah, we did. First of all, it's like, it's a really lucky thing, it occurs to me now. I saw him the other day, and we're doing this movie together. Very few people are lucky enough to spend their life in the same line of work with their best friend from when they were kids. managed to, you know, stay friends, not end up hating each other, actually be friends and love each other. And
not have one of them soar to the stratosphere and the other one be, have nothing
that was
ever
brief.
Happen. But no, but I'm saying, like, that's like, that's what usually happens. The fact that both of you guys are superstars.
Yeah.
So in context, the reason we're asking this hacky question is because in Air, the film that we're talking about, Ben, for the very, very first time, directs Matt.
I love it. It's full circle. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it was something that seemed really normal and that I took for granted because there we were. We were kids who, he was a bigger kid for a brief period.
Really?
I was 8, he was 10, he was a big kid, he played baseball, he was really cool. He had a bowl cut that was a little feathered that we all wanted, of course. And he was nice to me. And we were both interested in the same thing. I mean, just kids who grew up two blocks apart and both wanted to be actors. For whatever reason it is that makes you want to do that thing, and hung out, and then we're in the same friend group, and then sort of went off and did, like, oh, let's, you know, we're just, like, dumb and enough to think, like, it'll pan out for us. We'll just go be actors. We'll just go work, you know, and kind of sort of believe in it and then live together. But I think the reason why it wasn't a thing, that sort of competition thing that you talk about, is because we did a lot of auditioning very early on for the Mickey Mouse Club, for example.
Amazing, huh?
I think maybe for some of Jason's early work.
Gosling got the Mickey Mouse job.
He did. He was one of them. Yes, we did. A Corey Haim film called Soul Man, I remember we both auditioned for. We both auditioned for Robin and the Clooney movie.
No way.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we were extras together all the time. Matt did Mystic Pizza. He had a line in that. I didn't get it. And always the thing was, we would get our, you know, little act together and practice our scenes and do our workshop. I mean, nerdy doesn't even begin to describe it.
Really?
But it really was a genuine thing where we were like, look, I hope I get the part. But if I don't, I really hope you do.
Right.
And, you know, for a while we had this thing where we were like, we'll just split all our money. You know what I mean?
Oh, you guys had high voices.
We like had, oh, you
did you really say that?
We really did, and we really split the money.
No way.
Put it in the bank account. At the time, I was making the lion's share of the money. Yes.
No way. How old were you?
Yes, I am. We had a joint bank account. I think I was 14, Matt was 16, something like that.
Wow, that's cool. That's
really awesome. Money in the ATM, and then it was like, okay,
so cute.
What do you want to get?
I saw you made a big withdrawal last weekend.
Joking as much as you are, but it does show that on a certain level, there is a trust there that you guys just trust each other implicitly, that there's just, right, that's on a very basic level.
I, like, took for granted that he liked me and rooted for me and wanted me to succeed. We're lucky enough not to have the friendship of that, the whole, like, it's not enough that I succeed, all my friends have to fail thing. Like, and there are people I've wanted to fail. You know what I mean? Like,
we all have.
I can be just as petty and bitter as any other actor, but I loved him, and he loved me, and it felt like we would work the scenes together, and, you know, it actually, I think what made us sort of good writers and better actors was that we learned very early on to hear, like, I'm not sure that works, that choice, you know? And you go, okay, let's try something else, you know, and get our facts, our sides.
Let's try a lower voice. Did you ever give that note?
I had to hit puberty. And so bad enough in those years.
So wait, but when you say you grew up together in Boston, right? But you were born or raised in California? Like, what's the California thing?
I was born in California. My parents were at teaching at an experimental school outside Berkeley briefly. Mm-hmm. And then, actually, and then I moved back to Boston around 2 or 3. I moved into Central Square in Cambridge, and then Matt moved there from Newton when I was 8, and he was 10. And that's when we met at the basketball.
And you got a Burger King commercial? That was your very first thing?
Listen, I had done a Burger King commercial. Okay, I'm sure you remember the slogan was, sometimes you got to break the rules.
Yeah,
oh, sure.
And I'm a little bit of a rule breaker.
These guys are gonna love this. I did a McDonald's commercial. One of my first things where I worried about how I was going to impress a girl. Uh-huh. And the catchphrase from my guy scene partner was, don't worry about it. I was like, how am I going to pay for the date? Don't worry about it. That's my story. So wait, go back to the burger.
Holy shit.
You're gonna get fired.
Ben's got a head of steam going.
You're gonna be out of the job. You'll be without a podcast.
There's no fucking punchline.
Out of gas.
Jesus.
Boy.
Wait, sorry,
go ahead, Ben.
Anyway, let me just, can I regroup? Do
you
mind?
Ben, take all the time you need. Start over.
Shake it off.
Wait, and then you did like
he's crying.
I've established that we were very nerdy and a little weird. We used to have business lunches in what was called the media cafeteria.
Amazing.
Which at the time, there was a big ESL portion of our public high school, which was like 2,600 kids. And that was where the ESL kids, I don't know why that was where we liked to be surrounded by people who spoke other languages. I'm not sure what it was, but maybe we didn't want anyone to actually hear our business lunches because no business was conducted.
Yeah.
But we plotted things. We planned our careers.
But look at you now. Look at the business you guys are in now. Artist equity, yes?
It is bizarre, like, to have gone this far. And definitely a lot of, I don't think I would be sane, or as sane to the extent that I am, had I not had somebody who was from where I grew up and who was my best friend and who was going through the same thing. So you could, because I'm sure you guys all know, there are these moments in this business where you look around and go, like, is this completely insane?
Yeah.
I feel as though, you know, I'm coming unglued. And having that, when someone to share that perspective, and then so as we went on and on, so finally got to a place where, like with Last Duel, was like, why haven't we just, we had so much fun. Every day on that set was so much fun. And we're just like, let's just do this. Let's just do movies together and with people we like.
Mm-hmm. And we will be right back.
Thank you to Organic Valley for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley Dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. It just tastes better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great-tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. And do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
Hey, SmartLess listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you are interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartlist. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And now, back to the show.
Going back, the first thing that kind of launched it was it Dazed and Confused, or was it something before that? And what's the story about Vince Vaughn?
He's asked a two-parter there. You can take them one at a time, or you can ask him to repeat it. When he's just,
I get excited. I get excited.
I know it. Sean, I know it.
Sean, I ever write these things down? In the pre-interview the Vince bit.
No.
I don't know where you're going with that.
No, but I heard.
Yeah.
No, there's something.
I do know that we I had done a couple of what I was the more experienced. I don't want to make Matt feel insecure.
Sure.
I had some early experience with professional acting.
You're selling burgers, you know?
I sell burgers, but I don't know if you know your public television history. I was on a show, Voyage of the Mimi.
Nope. Voyage of the Mimi.
Yeah. Science. It was also shown to sixth graders for their science class because it was so gripping. Huh. And a young boy and his grandpa. Renting out a boat to scientists for experiments.
Yeah.
And so I would periodically go off and do a little Voyage of the Mimi. So Matt was a little threatened by that. And when I got to the high school, he kind of pulled me aside. And he said, listen, man, all right, this is the theater. It's not about your looks, okay? It's about the work. And I took that very seriously. And I felt that I was hearing something, you know, real, like the words of wisdom from a guy who understood it. Wow. I didn't know until that time he felt I'd been entirely bogarting my way through life on, like, wit and charm and looks, of which there were very few.
Well, but no, it sounds like actually you came roaring into high school just killing it.
Yeah, you were crushing it. And Matt, I mean, by the way, I mean, again, no insult to Matt, but it sounds like he felt threatened by you, Ben. And I want to just...
I think maybe he was a little on insecure. The other thing he said to me was like, you know the thing about Hoffman and salesmen? As you can see the wheels turning, but he wants you to see the wheels turn. Matt Damon, 15 years old,
Matt.
No way. That's hysterical.
That's a true story.
That's fucking amazing. However,
that's why he's brilliant, because that guy has been absolutely convinced that and has paid attention to, like, you know, very little else in his free time other than acting since he was a little kid doing Wheelock Community College theater when he was 11 years old. And he's been with absolute conviction that this is what he was going to do. And he was a lot smarter about it than me. He understood a lot earlier on. He was like, it's just all about the director. I'm just going to focus on the director. He was like passing on parts when we were broke. I said, what are you passing on? You can't pay the gas bill. How is this not good enough for you?
Because he didn't like the director?
Yeah, he just didn't feel he didn't have anything to offer, you know?
Oh, wow.
And it was like that. I'm like, I'm doing after school specials about steroid abuse, and you're passing on like movies.
That's pretty great. But I will say this, you gave him a piece of advice that he has since paid for and given, and he let us in on it last year when he came to join us, which was apparently you said to him, if somebody asks you to do something down the road, imagine that the same, you know, we get it all the time. Hey, will you come and do this 6 months from now and come and show up at this thing? Imagine that you'd have to do it tomorrow. And then let that be your answer.
Yeah. If you don't want to do it tomorrow,
say no.
I did give him that. I never thought that was particularly wise.
Ben,
I just thought,
no, it's
because
the
Matt was
ever.
Constantly saying yes and then be like, hey, man, can you call them and tell them I'm sick? And
I right. Said, yes. Yeah. And that's bullshit.
It's amazing. I've told minimum 50 people that piece of advice as if I came up with it my own. And they have people love it and have latched onto it, right, JB? We've talked about it all the time.
I live it. I did it today. Yeah. I got asked to do something really? Like 3 months from now that sounds kind of interesting. That'd be kind of fun. But then I thought, well, actually, if it was on the calendar for tomorrow, would I wish that it was canceled? If the answer is yes, pass.
Pass. I love that.
You know, yeah. The thing about that I can't completely co-sign, like my dirty little secret is I might pass on everything.
Did right. you think about
I almost never want to get off the
calendar. Did you think about this show today, about passing on the show?
Oh, I mean, I was a half hour late, wasn't I?
Yeah.
They had to talk you out of it. So for the guy who likes to do nothing except sit on his couch every day like I do, I find it interesting that you're actually able to get up and work as hard as I think anybody could possibly work when it comes to directing. Like, that's a really, really all-encompassing job. So are you like me where it's like either all or nothing? I'm either working full or out.
I think you and I have that in common, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it is, it's a little bit like, it's more sort of social things. Like I feel actually kind of shy. I don't really want to go say hi to people. It feels a little bit like, oh, I'm going to, you know, something's going to happen. It's going to make me feel awkward. But I love directing movies, and that movie in particular was the best experience I've had. And directing is hard and terrifying, and at first I thought, like, okay, even if I don't know anything about this, I know that I can at least work harder than everybody else. And so I thought, well, you put in 20 hours a day, and that's what you do. And it made it excruciating, and I got migraines. But, like, to the extent that the movies, you know, I was happy with, I thought, well, it must be because I worked 20 hours a day and did nothing else and thought of nothing else. Mm-hmm. And eventually realized that you don't quite have to do it that way. And that actually, this movie, which is the favorite movie I ever made, I love this movie. It benefits entirely from the writing and acting of Jason and Matt and Chris and Viola and Chris Messina and Matt Mayer. But it was so much fucking fun every day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's your fault. I mean, we don't have to do a whole thing on the kind of set you run and your talent and everything. But
we have 25.
It was actually incredibly easy, guys. We shot this down the street. We shot it in a business in an office building that we're supposed to be in an office building. So they basically just flipped the lights on. Now, that's to take nothing away from Bob Richardson, who is like the best DP in the history of movies. But it was very fast. I think after like 7 days, we were already 3 days ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to go quickly, and then you and Matt showed up. Uh-huh. And like having not directed Matt, I didn't appreciate it. When you're a director, right, you have your plans, you're worrying about all these other things. Yes, you're worrying about the performances, but I thought, okay, well, I won't have to worry about the performances, and I'll just worry about all the other sort of bullshit I'm doing that I think is relevant when really the actors are the only thing the audience is paying attention to. And like, you know, camera moves and that kind of thing. And Jason and Matt are such pros. That, no, I mean, it was like a dance to watch these two guys together. They've done it so much and so well. Mm-hmm. So that as soon as you start to feel the dolly is laid, it's not going to be, all of a sudden Jason's looking in his pocket for something that might be behind him. And Matt looks behind, and all of a sudden he makes maybe a little more mournful choice on that line delivery because it's going to give him an extra half step to the turn to where he knows the steadicam's going to come around. The two of the guys, I started feeling like you're like making it for me. Stop like doing
so
this.
It's so fun.
I love that.
It really was amazing to see. In fact, it got to the point where because Bob's crew and everyone was so good, they started anticipating and trying to do it. And then the guys who were really good and women who were doing it were like, it started to just speed up. And finally, I was like, Matt, Jason, don't do their job for them. You don't have to do everybody's job. Yes, I know you're great at it, but just worry about the scene. Because I think they kind of started having fun with it. Like, because I had wonders and you'd have to see this and that. And Jason would know, like, you're probably going to want that magenta in the background. So, and I thought you'd like the window. And I was like, you son of a bitch. Yeah, I did want the window. I didn't think I was that transparent.
Did you, can you remember having any sort of significant creative negotiation with Matt, either in the writing process or in the directing process, like giving him a note that he didn't want to take or writing a scene that he thought was kind of fine already? Or
because didn't you have the writing process like Good Will Hunting and back in college where you would...
Well, they won an Oscar.
You would... What, you would talk about it or improv it and
record it? We record it, yeah. On what were audio cassettes at the time. Kids, those were small brown tape cassettes.
Really?
Put in devices.
Wait, really? You guys talked out the script?
Yeah, because we never thought of ourselves as formal writers.
Right.
We had a great drama teacher in high school who taught us kind of sort of writing, directing, acting, and didn't sort of put them in distinct silos. Yeah. So we would actually end up making plays, which I later realized we were direct them in effect, but we just thought we would improvise them and kind of distill them down and find a story.
Such a great idea.
So that's just how we know how to do it. So
this
Matt
person
and I,
did you such a favor by doing that, by sort of putting it all together, right?
There's no question without Jerry Specka, Matt or I, or my brother, or Matt Mayer, or Max Casella, or Nico Larson, or all the people that came out of the program who are working and who are terrific would I think be working. Because he taught us that, and he taught us to not take ourselves seriously, mm-hmm. respect other people, but take the work that we were doing incredibly seriously. And that was like that kind of, and there's that like great time of life when you have the older person who's the mentor who you look up to who's doing the thing you want to do, who says, this is meaningful, but you really have to work hard at it. Mm-hmm. And so we did.
Ben, that was a teacher that you guys had at your public high school that you went to?
Yeah. Public high school just lucked out and got this guy who's a genius.
He was amazing.
And he was amazing for kids that didn't even end up wanting to be in theater. And I could do a whole thing on him. But the truth is, I think that's part of why I learned to be collaborative is that Matt and I never fought or argued about stuff. It was always that we never got our feelings hurt because most of the ideas are bad. So I'll have a bad idea, he'll have a bad idea. I'll have a bad idea, he'll have a bad idea. I'll have an idea that's a little bit maybe better. And then Matt, that kind of keys something in Matt that's mediocre. You know what I mean? And so we know we're building from there, and it's never about, and then it just becomes about like finding the best thing until both of us feel like it can't be improved. And we kind of go like, and if there is a kind of difference of opinion, it always ends up coming down to who cares more.
Yeah,
I go, Matt, I don't know. I really think this is about the. And he's like, man, that. And I go, all right.
Yeah. If you don't want to do it more than I want to do it, then we're not going to do it. You know, or if I want to do it more than you don't want to do it, we're going to do it. Like that's just common. Amanda and I try to live by that. There she is.
Oh, look, it's Jennifer Lopez,
special guest star.
There she is.
Hi.
You can't hear us. Hi.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
Hi, guys. There.
You were just doing very well. We were talking about you in very favorable terms, and so was your husband.
Oh, thank you.
I was singing some of your songs back to you.
Sing. Please sing.
Yeah. Waiting for the night. Oh!
Oh, my love. It's waiting for tonight.
Waiting for tonight.
Oh, that's the mic drop right there.
But thank you.
She crushed it.
We're lucky that
Matt is brilliant.
Actors.
Thank you for saying hi.
Yes, of course.
Bye, Jennifer.
Looking forward to doing this with you.
Oh, good. I love you.
There's the part that will make the show.
By the way, we just bypassed Jason. I didn't know this term, creative negotiation.
Yeah,
that's great. You know, way to take the yard out of it, man. You fucking find a way every fucking time.
Just business, my friend.
You don't have to negotiate.
Canal Street. How much for the batteries?
Hey, Picasso, how much paint did you use? How many cubic liters of paint did you use?
That's the beautiful thing.
Just take the fucking art out of it, babe, and fuck you.
You see, Picasso never had to negotiate with anybody because it's just a single thing. What we're doing is like team stuff, right?
That's
so
you've got
to always negotiate.
There is a lot of negotiation. I mean, the lucky thing is when you don't have to negotiate, when you go like, you know, you do something, you write it, you give it to him, and then Jason sits down and reads the scene. And like, he made me cry on this. And then you feel like a jerk because you feel like that guy who just like, was it Marty Short or whatever, who's to go, and then... you know, you just want to give one of like those.
What's the name of that character you played?
Jiminy Glick?
Jiminy Glick.
Jiminy Glick.
Yeah.
I just watched him last
just
night.
I have a question, Mr. Affleck. Do you...
and then he goes,
It's the funniest
thing. So to wrap up the Matt stuff, we'll mm-hmm. leave him out of the rest of the interview. Because we've had enough of Matt, right? I mean, Will, yeah. with you, with your Wordle, Quirtle, and Squirtle every morning.
I want to get in on that. And Matt was like, you're not ready. I was like, Ben, I'm not ready.
I removed myself.
Jason dropped out. He couldn't take the heat.
No, it's not the heat. Yeah. It's Will likes to tell you how much better his score could have been had he done X, Y, or Z. It's like
anyway, that's
guy,
really. But,
wait. I wanted to close the map part of it. Tell for the and you could. I know I would love to do a full podcast with you about artist equity and all the sort of studio economics that you're in. But
they didn't. He told me you didn't want to do this.
It would put our audience to sleep. So for the those that have narcolepsy, do the quick version of. Generally, what the concept is, what you guys are doing versus what exists, and why that makes sense for you guys doing this since you're buddies and you want to kind of spread that kind of buddy feeling in the process.
It's a tough elevator pitch, and I overtalk and go on too long, so it's a bad combo.
Sean will cut you off. Don't worry.
Basically, what it is like over the years, as I'm sure you have, we start to kind of know like there's money that gets spent on things that don't end up making the movie any better. Right. And the more money that you spend on what you do, the more obligation you have, the sort of more risk there is, and the less likely people are to do things that you consider more interesting. They want to be more conventional.
Right.
And then I looked around as a director, started to really understand and value the people on the crew who made such a significant difference to the quality of what you're doing, both in terms of speed and in terms of the environment and the way in which you're able to perform. But I'm a big believer that the performance really ultimately is what draws people in, and performance and the writing. And so we came up with this idea, never thinking anyone would ever actually fund us. To do a movie studio that was predicated on two things. Basically, allowing the crew and the artist, being the writer, I mean, and I consider the crew the artist, which is the whole group, actors, directors, writers, so on.
Yeah.
As well as cinematographers, sound mixers, everybody who collectively create the value in what we're doing to benefit from the upside of it in a really meaningful, significant way, but also to be responsible for it. In other words, listen, if it goes over, you're going to get less. If it comes in under, you're going to do better, but all of us have to make it good. Otherwise, we're not going to get anything.
Yeah,
and right. sort of treat people like grown-ups. Believe they can be accountable, and also believe that, you know, because incentives have not historically been aligned between the people financing movies traditionally and the people making them always.
Right.
And so without going into too great a detail, the idea was like, let's separate this out from, like, what is the value of a movie? Well, usually they'll use comps. Like, well, what's the budget? And what did you make on your last movie? And especially now because there's no back end and no gross, that's sort of it, right?
Right.
Well, I've always felt that was akin to going into the Apple store and saying, I'll tell you how much I give you for the iPhone when you tell me how much you paid the guy that put it together. But right. that's, you know, you don't. That's not how it works, right? So right. why does it have to work in the other way? See, yeah. So by being agnostic as a financier and producer, this studio, and we had to then, you know, hire all the business affairs and legal and physical yeah. production and so on, so that we could be an entity significant enough to take on the entire creative responsibility of developing, producing, shooting, and delivering the movie. And in exchange, we got to say, look, this is what it's going to cost. It won't cost a dime more than that. If it goes over, we pay for it. But you have to sort of, we're going to be the ones who take on the burden, the role of saying, we're going to deliver something good. If it's terrible, it's our fault. But you're going to sort of put your trust in us to be able to do this. Yeah. I'm sure whatever yeah. partners that we work with, they're excellent, brilliant people who are distributing and marketing movies. We don't do that. We don't want to do very many movies, but we want to just really make good movies with people we like.
I love that.
And that's it. And we think people should be paid more for what they...
Right, so you're basically taking on the financial risk by funding the production effectively. And then you're saying, we don't need you. You don't get the leverage financier by giving us the money to make it, assuming that we don't have it to make it. We actually do. We're going to spend the money to make it. And we're basically coming to you and saying, we'd like to sell you this product. We're going to take care of the wholesale part. Here's the retail price. Who wants to buy it?
Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly. It
makes a lot of
sense.
That's
what he just said. He just said
I'm trying to see if my brain heard it right.
We'll be right back. From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Back in the 90s, Pepsi and Coca-Cola were in a heated race to try and win loyal customers by any means necessary. But when Pepsi launched an ambitious promotion that encouraged people to buy Pepsi and redeem points for prizes, they overlooked their own fine print in a major way. I'm Misha Brown, and I'm the host of Wondery's podcast, The Big Flop. Every week, guests join me to chronicle one of the biggest pop culture fails of all time, like who at Pepsi thought it would be a good idea to advertise that people could earn enough points to redeem a military jet as a prize. They never imagined somebody might actually try to snag it, but a 23-year-old did, and suddenly Pepsi owed him a jet. Follow The Big Flop on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Big Flop early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid. We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I'd just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell you, of all guests we've had on SmartList, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye. Seps.
And back to the show.
So now, but then once you have finished the completion of a film, you now have to enter into a whole other thing because you're going out there to distributors. Yeah. So are you working with all different distributors, all different shapes and
sizes? Business is like, there's all sorts, it's changing a lot. You have streamers, you have, you know, companies that are theatrical and streaming and so on. And that's, nobody's quite figured that out yet. My feeling is people are watching things and interested in them, and that's going to be ongoing. How they figure out the economics of where they place value on it. You know, there, if we keep our focus to a few things and try to make them really good. And also, I really felt like, you know, interesting original dramas, comedies, sort of ideas were starting to fall away from the theatrical world.
Yes.
It was kind of like, nah, that's not in movie theaters. And so with this movie, and this movie's themes are kind of congruent with the ideas and the philosophy of this business. Like, what are the people worth and how should they be compensated? And isn't this, the story itself, I think, is interesting, meaningful, and I want people to go see movies like this.
Yeah, I watching your trailer, I thought that very thing, the first time I saw it, I thought nobody gets to make movies like this anymore, because we've lived in a world where, and everybody has benefited and participated to a certain degree in these sort of, whatever you call them, these tentpoles or these...
Including me.
Yeah, Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Everybody, all of us have benefited in certain ways. However, what happened was the result of that is that these other kinds of movies that you're talking about.
Without special effects.
Without special effects and that are story driven and that are
well,
character
your
driven.
Hair, but beside
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Those things don't really, those kind of movies don't really exist as much anymore.
Not in the theaters.
Wow,
and this one's
the
going to 3,000
screens.
Well,
part
right?
of the problem is fucking Ozark.
Yeah,
because
right.
it used
yes.
to be yeah. that, you know, you to put out a movie, you were competing, you know, like Law and Order or whatever, Magnum. You know yeah. what I mean? You had an 11-inch yeah. black and white, and you could watch Simon and Simon, or you yeah. could go see, well, you know, Murder at 1600.
Oh, my
and
God.
And now you've got Succession and Ozark and really good fucking stuff where yeah. People at home go, you know what, I can pause, I can watch tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's made it very difficult.
But it looks like they're approaching a good combo where you're getting a nice window of time in the brick-and-mortar theaters. You can see it on a big screen if you want. Or you can wait, what is it? I think it's now basically 6 weeks before it'll be at your home, as opposed to the old method was like 3 months. And it was.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to Amazon. The first time they're really going for the, we're going to do a theatrical, traditional, you know, 3,500 screens out in the theaters, go
That's
see
amazing.
It. Don't, you can't like wait to see it for free. Like not sort of upstaging it with a very soon impending free version at home.
This is Amazon, right?
Amazon, yeah. yeah. And they really are taking a flyer on this. And I hope it works honestly for obviously for the movie, but also so that we can do it again. And the reason why, going back to that model, the one thing that we do ask is that like the Hollywood model is kind of like I get paid in failure, right?
Right.
Like I still have the money. I mean, I spent it, but like I made money on Geely. I didn't have to give it back.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
Right.
Like everyone else went broke. And I got a car, you yeah. know? So this is like, we're not going to get paid here. We're just going to spend what it costs to make the movie itself. And we're all going to show up and invest our time and energy. And if it works, and if it's successful, and if it's financially successful, you'll get paid, whether you're the cinematographer, whether you're the writer, the director, much more otherwise right. than you would have. But the relationship between how you're compensated and how much it connects to audiences is really direct versus just like, hey, man, you know, I don't get out of bed for less than whatever. And that's what I kind of, you know, that and such a nice thing to not have that vibe, you
yeah.
know, where the people who are doing it just want to be there.
And I think this film's got a real good chance of hitting that sort of zeitgeist thing for two reasons. Number one, it's a story we all think we know, but we don't. The whole story about how and why Nike got into business with Michael Jordan when Michael Jordan entered the NBA and this whole start of this sneaker, this whole Air Jordan thing, like it's an incredible American business story that no one really knows how it went together. And this movie yeah. explained it. And you're releasing it during March Madness, which I think is genius.
First of all, it's great. I hear it's great from a few different people who've seen it. Two of them are in the movie, but they say it's great.
Believe them.
And
you can come by the house and watch it anytime, by the way. I told Jason two or
he
three times. Please ask him to come.
He
no,
did not.
You, I think
and
you broke up during that part of the phone
I'm
call.
Desperate to see it. And I think Bradley saw it. Anyway, whatever it is, I'm desperate to see it. I think it sounds amazing. And
Bradley won't let me see his movie until it's mixed. So
it's really good.
That movie's great.
That movie's great.
I read the script and I remember saying to him like, "This is, you know, this is the movie."
We're talking about Maestro,
dude, Maestro,
brilliant, yeah.
Incredible.
And the test, it's amazing. It looks
amazing. It's fucking amazing. Talk about movies that nobody.
It's
makes.
The best script I've ever read. That
it's
that.
Really, really good. And but I was going to say for your movie, what's great is because it is like as Jason says, it does tell this story and it's so great and. You know, people like Jason, this is where they learn stuff is from the movies because they've never read a book before.
They have no life experience.
Right, they have no life experience. So, but truly, everybody says, and even Jason says this, which you never say, you weren't talking about yourself, about how much you love the movie. I can say that. He legitimately loves it. So I'm very excited to see it. Now, let's talk about Batman. Let's talk about the real thing that everyone
wants to know.
Can I
jump in before?
Let's get down to business.
Hey, no,
Sean.
Because the only time we really hung out was when we did that thing with Kimmel about the Batman, and then I stuck my head in as Lego Batman, and you guys all laughed at me.
We do have two Batmans on the podcast, Sean.
I know, that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Very
one
cool.
real and one cartoon.
But I saw the trailer for The Flash, and everybody was like freaking out when you came on the screen.
You know what? That movie's good.
I hear it's amazing.
That movie's
it looks
really good.
I hear that movie's
they
fucking
made
great.
A good
yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
And it's my best shit I've done. I finally figured out how to play the guy.
No, really?
I got it.
For real?
I was like, hold on. I quit. I know I quit. And I know I came back to it. But yeah, I got it now. It's like, you know, when you do the audition and you're on your way home and you're like, no.
Wait, what was the moment? Why did the penny drop? What happened?
I mean, I don't want to give a spoiler, but it was a scene where I get caught. I get saved by Wonder Woman during a conflagration with some bad guys.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And she saves me by, I'm sure I'm good, like the spoiler, you know, DC assassins.
She saves
me with the lasso of truth.
Yeah.
Sure. And so what happens is that Batman divulges, you know, some of his real feelings about his life and his work. Mm-hmm. And it helps you
see the character, and now you want another chance to play it.
And I was like, wait a minute, I got it. Am I still, wait, can I, guys?
Are we still rolling? Can we write another
story of my fucking life?
By the way, Ben, one time I remember years ago, and I asked him about it, I remember Alec Baldwin saying in an interview that he was driving home from Knott's Landing, when he was on Knott's Landing.
Oh, yeah.
And like on a Friday night, and just going like, oh, fuck, that's how you do the scene. And he's like, from that moment on, he made a deal with himself that he would never leave it, that he would always figure out the scene while he was there. And it always stuck with me, especially because it was Knott's Landing.
It's so funny. Alec told me a similar story, but totally different.
Is that true?
He loves this metaphor. He's like, you know why I'm a good actor, but not a great actor? And I was like, no, Alec, and I don't want to answer that. Uh-huh. He was like, because I was playing Kowalski on Broadway. And it was the door. He was supposed to leave the screen door, and I guess in some, and the screen door wouldn't open, and he was exiting. It wouldn't open. I shook it once, and I shook it twice, and it wouldn't open. And so I stepped around it. And right then, I realized what would Brando do. He would have kicked it down.
He would have kicked it down.
And I was like, so, oh, kick it down. Okay. But he's very focused on that, like, moment after thing.
Uh-huh. Dude, that's hilarious.
I want to ask you about, you've won 2 Academy Awards, Good Will Hunting and Argo,
right? Thank you. Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to get to that.
Yeah, 4 minutes into it.
It's been the Jason Bateman show.
Your publicist is, like, all over me about that. I was like, okay, got it.
Yeah, hello.
Texting.
Yeah, no, but I want to talk to you about Argo because you wrote me one of the funniest emails, which I want to read right now.
Oh,
and we can
God.
Cut it if you want, but it's really funny. Anyway, Victor Garber, who's a friend of ours, right? He was staying in my guest house here while you were filming Argo, which is three houses down.
Guest house, but go ahead.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
He said you were in his guest house, but
yeah, sure, whatever. We swap. We share, like you share a bank account. We share a guest house. So
I want to still share a bank account with Matt. All of a sudden, the deal's over after Born. You know?
But you shot Argo three houses down from me, and I would walk over in my pajamas and sit down and watch you direct, and it was super, super fun. And then you won the Oscar, and I was there at the Oscars. And I wrote an email to you, and I said, I'm so proud of you. I'm so thrilled for you. And then all the other sentences had question marks. I said, I still haven't seen it, and I probably won't get to it. I'll probably have to Netflix it, and someone will have to read the subtitles to me. But I'm sure I'll love it like everyone in Iran says they do. And then I said, I loved your speech, blah, blah, blah. And you wrote back, I saw your little sweet face when I was standing up there accepting my Oscar. In the middle of the greatest triumph of my professional life, I thought, I have got to tell Sean to go tanning. So when I was doing all this research for you today, like all this stuff, I found that old, I was like, I'm going to look at old emails. I laughed out loud. And then you wrote me another one.
Haven't taken me up on it. Still,
still pasty.
No, not at all. I'm translucent.
So good.
Yeah. Oh, Benjamin, this has been amazing. Way too much of
is
your
it,
time.
Is it over? They told me it's 2 hours. So only an hour for me.
It's just two hours.
You don't usually do a 2 hour.
It just okay, feels great. Like
we usually go three.
Right?
We usually go three.
I am a big fan. I got to tell you guys, I love the Marc Maron show. You are wonderful. Oh, I'm sorry.
Shit. Wrong show.
Oh, shit.
No, the truth is you guys are you do a great job. You manage to be very interesting to listen to. And yet very little of substance is ever said.
We distract you with all the constant noise. That's all it is.
It feels like kind of wonderful. Yeah. I enjoyed it. It's an honor and a pleasure to be on the show. Thank you for having
me. Well, likewise.
Honest to God, you are fucking amazing in the movie. From the first time I met you on the day of Smoking Aces, when I walked into that scene and you did the monologue about about congenital alcoholism and herpes in a small penis, I have never, you cannot, if you go back and watch that movie, there is not a shot of me where I'm not laughing.
From the movie. That's not from the movie, dude. He was just telling somebody.
Yeah, we were just hanging out, Ben, remember?
Yeah.
They put it in the movie.
Yeah.
It was, I was like, this guy is a genius. A genius. And I have never forgot it. And then
Joe
it's
Carnahan's
just
fault.
Been
you know, he wrote a great scene and directed a great movie.
To work with you. No,
you're
no, nice your man. Fault. Genius.
Nice
Love
man.
Joe. Great in that. Great in Extract. I have loved it. It's been
We had
pleasure.
Fun on Extract.
I think you're a genius.
Yeah, yeah. You are.
I
a
do.
Genius.
I think all that
My
you
mother thinks that word's overused.
Yeah, no, it is.
Usually,
yeah,
she's probably
she hears
right.
it a lot about her sons.
But we're really happy. I will say this. I'm so happy that you're directing movies and you're making movies like this and that you're just continue to do fucking great stuff. And
yeah, I can't
I'm
wait
a fan.
To see it.
I love it. This is all I want to do.
You do want to direct more than act, right? You love it.
You're
so good.
You know,
at
I started really loving acting finally for real when I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Right. I'm just going to direct movies. This is, I'm done with this.
Right.
I don't care. I just love directing. And then I was kind of like, well, I'm already here. And I can, you know.
Doing both, right? Act in the movies that you direct.
Yeah. And then I just let go. And I remember Sidney Pollack once saying, when we did, he was a director and an actor, and we did a movie called Changing Lanes 20-some years ago.
Oh,
and
he
said to me, you know why I'm a good actor? I was like, no, Sidney. Because I don't give a shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, I didn't understand at the time, but I know what he's getting at now, which is that so much of it just has to do with letting go and being relaxed and trying things and not sweating what people are going to think.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying the take that at the time Jason and Matt make fun of you for, but later on works in the movie. We know what we're talking about.
Wait, really? Wait, which one was
that? It was the take where I really wanted to play my part, and I interrupted Matt and made him wait a second, and you were like, maybe too big. Maybe that's too big.
I said that? Uh-oh.
No, but believe me, the movie. Matt was right out in front of you. He was like, you can't do that. Hold on.
Wait a second. Oh wait, is this the one with the blaster glasses and the jogging outfit?
Oh no, you were all unequivocal about that, and that didn't make that was too big.
Dude, no, it's on the poster. What do you mean it didn't make the movie? You're on the poster in your phaser glasses and your jumpsuit.
That is historically accurate.
I
that
get it. Taken no one's going to know that, though. They're footage. Just going to be like, oh,
well, I'm trying
boy.
To promote it.
Why?
That's what I'm here. The whole point was to get to the fact that is not made up. That is the clothes
so
that were worn.
And his purple Porsche and his...
He had a purple Porsche that said Nike Man. Yeah.
This is Phil Knight, listener. Ooh, the guy who created Nike. Phil
I can't
Knight,
wait to see it.
It's fun. And so I do... Good. Once I started doing it and doing it with people I really loved... And it's true. I love directing in a different way, but acting has become really fun. Tender Bar was really fun. Last Duel was really fun. The Way Back was really fun, weirdly, for a movie about a person whose child dies and is alcoholic.
You were awesome.
It was
that.
Like it became joyful because I started developing my own criterion and stopped kind of making it about, like, you know, who
As
likes
Will
me.
Will says, it's a sexy indifference. Yeah. Right, Will?
Yeah.
I don't say that. No.
I'm going with overweight indifference.
Indifference is attractive.
Well, whatever you're doing, please keep doing it, man. Just such a fan. You're so great at what you do, and you always have been. And just
thank you
fan.
Very much. And I'm going to hold you guys to it. Since you're all in the next one for free. Thank you.
Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
I told you the model.
Yes,
we'll
thank
do it for
you,
free. We
I
just
guess.
Do it for the art.
thank you.
You're amazing for doing this.
I'm too handsome for film.
Will you let me into the fucking Octurtle battle or do I my JV still?
Tell Matt.
Here it
you
is.
Want
yeah,
in.
Give my agent your number. Yeah, no, I
what?
Okay, great. Thanks.
Does Matt own the invites? He's the commissioner.
So did he really keep you out? I'll
totally
talk
locked
to
me out. Well, not even locked me out. He was like, maybe keep working. You know what I mean? Like that move. Like out of love.
Try the crossword.
He finally, I tell him this is insane. He finally won today for the first time in like 6 weeks and he was ecstatic.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He was having a tough time.
But like I say, once I found out that he's in the low 50s, now I'm wondering if there is kind of an intramural league that I can be, because that
no,
is
I have a feeling Ben's going to wax all you guys.
Yeah, it won't take you long. Believe me, you're a sharp guy. It will not take you long to fucking make us all look like fools.
I'm starting to lose it. You are y'all young.
Ginkgo.
Sure.
Ginkgo.
Thanks, guys.
I have a question about Batman. Oh, sorry.
Sure, sure. Go ahead.
No, that's
no,
okay.
No, no. Feel free.
Go ahead, caller.
Ben, love you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I love you, pal.
Very,
seriously,
very
guys,
nice.
Jason has my number, and you guys, honest to God, like the movie is here, sitting here on the projector, and if you ever want to come at any point, even if I'm not here, it's like set it up, ring the bell, come watch the movie. You probably don't give a shit, and you're gonna end up, you know, watching.
No, they do, and you live about 3 blocks from Will.
Okay, oh, wow. So yep. Someone has no excuse.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit! Well, we'll walk over.
By the way, we will cut this, but I love the new house.
Yeah,
thank you.
Well, yeah. The rental's not too fucking shabby. Wow. Is that the one you're talking about, Sean?
No, the one that they just purchased.
Sean is keeping up with some of our celebrity journalists.
No. I have a real estate agent who's nosy.
Oh, really?
I saw it under construction, and I was like, this is amazing. So I'd love to see it when it's done.
You are the first to be invited.
No, we heard it. We got it recorded.
Thank you,
buddy.
Benjamin. We love you.
Thanks. Enjoy the rest of your night.
I love you all. Thank you very much. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks, Ben. Bye, bud.
Bye.
Wow.
Well, that guy, I mean,
fucking wattage, Sean.
So when we were talking
big
about
big star wattage, I mean, we had Damon on tour, and that's fine. Matt was fine, but then we have Ben Affleck, and just coming here with the fucking wattage. And
I know.
Like, well, that's the
now
region.
That's a star.
Through outer space.
Not like. Remember fucking Matt showed up in like a fucking hoodie and he fucking, you know what I mean?
Let's just get through the interview.
Through the thing. And then Ben shows up and he's handsome and he's talented and he's smart as fuck.
He's prepared.
Shoulders on it.
And he's prepared.
His hair is gorgeous.
Yeah. Hang on a second.
Jason,
let me see your hands real quick. I want to see your hands while you're talking.
Because it's really dark where you are.
No, all jokes aside, wow, that was awesome.
Yeah, and when I was doing like the research, you know, learning about him and stuff and about his past and whatever, I was like, and then you go through his credits, you're just like, wow. You forget like, wow,
huge.
Bang, 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 hit after hit after hit after hit.
Yeah.
He's been so relevant and talented and successful for so long, and I feel like he's only halfway done.
Yeah, I don't know if this is true. Does anybody know? Hasn't he played Batman more than any other actor?
I'll bet.
I think that might be, I think you might be right.
Yeah, I think so. He's played it 5 times, I think.
Really?
That's just, I'm so happy for him. And this movie, he crushes it, and Matt and him did a great job writing a lot of stuff,
too.
He's such a natural as a director. I mean, Jason, it's kind of what you talk about. When you spend all that time, you know, doing, and you've got a head on your shoulders, and you spend all that time on set and in that environment.
Yeah, you've got to absorb something.
You absorb something, and you can kind of apply it. And you have done it, and he has done it, and he's made so many great films, you know, as you said,
Sean.
Yeah, Sean. No, I know. But what was the one about Iran, the hostages?
Argo.
So Argo,
see that.
The Town is amazing as well. That's another great film that he directed.
Yes, like, The Town. Just, I love that movie.
Really, really good.
Yeah, that's what I'm Hammer's saying. I didn't even get a chance to talk to him about The Town. That was so good.
I know. Yeah. Well, because you were asking, you know, you had too many questions about out of left field.
He just texted me, I hate Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Well, he spelt it S-H-A-W-N, but the hate is spelled correct.
No way.
No, that's not true. He's the guy. My God, what an interesting life. I'd like to read his book. I want to read his book. I want to read Downey's book.
Just a book.
Any book
would
be great.
I guess, right? Would be amazing.
It's top
at this
to
point.
Bottom, left to right, right?
Yeah, as long as the book has a
binding center. Those pages are bound. That works.
Oh, no. He doesn't even know how it works.
Smart. Yes. Smart. Yes.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Bennett Barbaco, Michael Grant Terry, and Rob Armjarf.
Smartless.
If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hello, I'm Johnny Knoxville.
And I'm Elna Baker, and we have a new podcast. It's called Pretty Sure I Can Fly.
Yep, we've teamed up with my friends and barmates from Smartless to create a podcast where we talk to folks who have more balls in a bowling alley.
People who accomplished something extraordinary despite people telling them that it couldn't or shouldn't be done.
You'll hear stories about the Air Force doctor who buckled into a 600-mile-per-hour rocket sled and became the fastest man on the planet.
And a man who wrestles alligators and sharks for fun.
Do not do this.
You'll hear about a foul-mouthed moonshiner.
Got a 2-inch dick and a 6-inch tongue and knows how to use both of them.
And an even more foul-mouthed female stunt pilot. We got bull riders.
Balloonists.
Bobsledders.
And big wave surfers. People who lay their balls on an anvil and hand the other fella the hammer.
Okay. I bet you've actually done that, Johnny.
Maybe for sweeps. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.